We're learning the laws of Birchas Hamazon. We're discussing the halachos when it comes to a zimun, the event that there are three people that ate together. In that situation, we discuss the obligations of, before benching, that they should have a zimun together. The next zimun asks the question, what happens if one of those three people ate a meal which was not kosher? So you can say, well, that sounds like a silly situation. Why would I ever be in such an environment? So let's say you're eating lunch at work, and one of the people that bring their lunch happens to be Jewish, and the two of you are kosher, this other person brings non-kosher food. But you say, oh, we have a zimun. So the question is, could that person participate in the zimun? After all, there are three Jewish people present that did eat. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that achol davar iser, person ate something which is bidden, afal pi she'eno aser el min derabbanan, even if it's not a Torah prohibition, but it's a rabbinical prohibition, doesn't make a difference. Ein mizamnin alav, such a person cannot participate in the zimun as a member of the zimun. Not only that, but as a sidebar, the ein mevarchin alav lo b'tchila lo b'sof. For whatever reason, if you're already not eating kosher, you say, all right, so I'm going to eat treif. But for me not to make a bracha, pastish, how could I not do such a thing? Well, halacha tells us that if you are eating a davar iser, something which you're not supposed to, a bracha should not be recited, not a bracha before, and also not a bracha afterwards. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, so let's say you have a guy that says, I'm going to make a bracha. So on this situation, b'hu adin she'ein onin amein al birchaso. The Tosefta tells us, if the guy does say a bracha, you're not supposed to answer amen. The question is, why not? Why are we so strict on this person? After all, so he's doing one thing wrong, but he is eating, so maybe he still wants to connect to Hashem in some fashion, although in a strange way. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us as follows, Hoyel udavar iser hu, since he's doing something he's not supposed to, v'yesh avera b'achilaso, and his eating is incorrect. Therefore, because of this, Minoyet says Hashem b'birchaso. He's actually offending God by saying a bracha al zeh. So it's not that he's doing anything good. It's almost giving the impression to Hashem, it's like, it's no big deal what I'm doing. I can still say a bracha. And that's offensive. So therefore, such an individual, better that they should not even say a bracha. Mr. Brewer says, not even when it comes to a bracha afterwards, it doesn't make a difference if he ate enough and he's full, and you would think, maybe he should bench. No, he doesn't bench. Now, all of this is only referring to a situation where that individual did so b'mezid. She purposely did not eat kosher. Now, what happens? So, this person was hoping to eat kosher. He probably said a bracha on it. And then for some reason, you know, he went into the refrigerator in his office. He grabbed a sandwich, and he thought it was a kosher sandwich. It turned out that he grabbed the wrong one. So that individual, does that person bench? After all, he at the time he ate it, felt he did absolutely nothing wrong. Well, it's not so clear what the answer is. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the words of the Taz, as well as other Achronim, he says, in this situation, Yochel Avarech Basof, such an individual is allowed to actually say Berchas Hamazon. Now, it's brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos that not everyone agrees to this opinion, including brought down the Shals and Tshuvos, the Ksav Sofer. He says that such an individual should not bench. So therefore, he says, so how can you somehow reach a compromise between these two opinions? L'chein, yesh l'shtadol ma'od, l'echol od kezayis davar ma'achol hamoter b'yavorach bracha achrona v'yichavin liftar hakol. So the whole issue is, should I bench? So grab something else which is kosher, eat it, eat enough that you would have been able to bench on it by itself, and then you would have removed yourself from this machlokas, from this dispute. The Mishnah Berurah then discusses further whether or not this individual who ate bishogeg, something not kosher, he didn't intend to, finds out about it, whether or not that person is allowed to participate in a zimun. So he says, le'inyan zimun, afil bishogeg ein lazamin al zet. Such an individual will not be allowed to participate in a zimun. The achilus iser lo chashiva kvius. Because as we said, the only time one could have a zimun is if three people have a set meal so that they are as one unit. So the fact that you ate something which is against the Torah, even if you didn't mean to do so, so you're no longer connected to those two other people, and therefore a zimun is not done. And then the Piskei Tshuvos asks a different question. The person did not eat anything which was not kosher. So he said, if you're eating something which is not kosher, no bracha is recited before or afterwards. What if you did eat something which is, as he uses the term, a heter gomer, something which is the best hashgacha in the world? But there's a problem. It's shehu bizman ha'aser ba'achila. It's a time when you're not supposed to be eating. For example, let's say it's a tina sibor, right? So it's a fast day. So you eat something which you're not supposed to. You have no heter. You're 100% healthy, and you should be fasting. You say, you know what? I'm going to skip this one, and you eat. So the question is a bracha recited in that situation? Or, for example, gives other examples, a person who eats before shacharis, not on the same level, a person who eats before they make havdalah, or before performing certain mitzvos, such as lighting the Chanukiah, in which one is supposed to do that before they eat their dinner. So all of these examples, or let's say a person eats, they don't wash on the TLC dime. All these situations, or for example, he says, you eat out of a sukkah, which, of course, on sukkahs, all these examples, even though you did something which you should ask forgiveness for, certainly a bracha is said before and afterwards, and this is the principle that he establishes. After all, the food itself is fine. It's just that you're eating it not at the proper time. So just as long as you're eating it, something which is kosher, even if you're not really supposed to be eating this kosher food at this particular time, you would still say a bracha, even though you're making a mistake by eating it at that time. So that's the distinction. One last idea which is brought down in the Mishnah Berurah is when it comes to stealing food. If you steal, can you say a bracha on that food that you stole? Well, the Mishnah Berurah says an example where apparently you can. He's according to some opinions. He says, "Im gonav gozel chitim utchan va'afan." You take some grain which is stolen, you steal it, and then you decide to take this wheat rather, and you grind it up and you bake it. Yesh omrim, there are those that say she'afal pi shekanan b'shinui, that in halacha, once you do something which changes its form, which is called a shinui, now you're officially, you've been kona it, you acquired it, that bread is now halachically mine, bahari him shlo, el shechayv l'shalim l'damim aburam, I don't have to return that loaf of bread, because that's not what I stole wheat, I have to return the value of what I stole. The Mishnah Berurah holds that a bracha should not be recited on this either. Bein bracha rishona, bein berchas hamazon. It doesn't make a difference whether the bracha before or the bracha afterwards, a bracha is not said. Now he does bring opinions that says that one is allowed to make a bracha because that which you stole, you were konet, you acquired it, now for it's yours. However, I'd like to conclude with one last thought, which is brought down in the Piskei Tshuvos. He says that one can certainly derive from the words in the Mishnah Berurah that in the event that a person just steals something, not that he steals grain and he ends up somehow takes some wheat and he makes it into a loaf of bread, you go into your office, open up the refrigerator, and you see a can of soda which is not yours. So the question is, if you're thirsty and you decide to take it and it's 100% stealing, should you make a bracha on that drink? So you have to know halacha really well to know the answer to this question. Hopefully you don't need to know the answer to this question.
Time of war. There's no food around and you have to eat trade.
Oh. That's going to be the next halacha, which we'll get into next week. It's going to talk about situations where you're allowed to eat the food, which is not kosher, whether or not you can participate in the zimun and stuff like that. That's a good question. That's going to be the next part of this chapter. But this idea that he brings down, if you steal something 100%, which is more than the value of a pruta, he says, and it's shlober shul, so without that person's permission, asur lo levarech alav lefanel acharat. You're not allowed to say a bracha. But asur lo ishtativ lezimun. You can't participate in a zimun. El im kein baru lo shechaver enu machbid. Unless you know for sure the person that you took the drink from doesn't care. Well, if you're not positive, then you're not allowed to say a bracha. And there he says, "V'cholzeh kishalokach b'meizah." This is referring to you stole that soda can on purpose. But if you did it b'shogeg, you thought that was yours, but it turned out that it wasn't. So obviously, you made the bracha before because you thought it was yours. In the middle of, after finishing drinking it, the question is, should a bracha be recited afterwards? So he says, "Mevarach alav bracha chrona." Then, in fact, the bracha afterwards should be recited.